President, may I please speak, inquire of the senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry?
Senator, you have...
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes, I said yes, but you just didn't hear me, Mr. President.
I'm sorry, the president's ears are not very good today.
What?
Sir?
Okay.
Proceed.
Senator, I want to say that we've served together now for, this is my eighth year, so all that time you were in the House together and in here. And I got to say that watching your style, while sometimes I vehemently disagree with your ideology, I found you to be incredibly independent and somebody who is willing to bring up tough questions and talk about things that make people uncomfortable sometimes. How does the actions that we are undertaking today, what is your perception on what we're doing?
Now, I really haven't had a chance to really think through all of it. But, I think that it's much more meaningful to confirm someone than to not confirm them. Not confirming them, to me, isn't that big of a deal. Not nominating someone is better than nominating someone who shouldn't be there. So, first of all, then another aspect is, like, the Senate and the role of the Senate and the power of individual senators, when there's the executive versus legislative war that goes on and that tension there. And so it seems to me that if sometimes the Senate has to flex its muscles and say, you know, we're not going to, we're going to take some punitive action. I heard the senator from the Fourth's argument that this guy wasn't really the guy. You know, he really wasn't the victim here. But this motion, as I understand it, this motion is solely on the shoulders of the senator from the 23rd. Not a single one of us has the ability to change that motion. So since he has shouldered the burden of removing Mr. Dollar, then we don't get to vote on Mr. Dollar. I mean, as I see it. And it seems to me that if you filibuster the entire list now, all you're doing is compounding what you don't like being done to Mr. Dollar.
Well, my intent when this started was not to filibuster anything. I mean, I don't enjoy being difficult in these circumstances. But I also cannot just sit here and allow an innocent bystander to become collateral damage on some higher political chessboard.
Is he really so innocent?
Well, in terms of whether the senator from Lewis received the promise and commitment that was made to him, yes, he is innocent.
Well, you know, the thing about it is sometimes people get held hostage for money and...
And good people have to stand up and say that's wrong. And that's what I'm doing.
And the thing is that sometimes you have to have a lever to get the governor to wake up and pay attention and say, hey, this is not right. I mean, you know, maybe I better.
I will commit the resources and industry of my office to help the senator from Lewis get somebody appointed that's north of wherever the boundary line is, and would be happy to sponsor a piece of legislation that would have the commission be a geographical representation by congressional district if that would be a solution to what he sees as a problem as a leader in the agriculture industry. I would support that. But this is not the way to do it.
Hey, but see, here's the thing. Mr. Dollar's nomination isn't before us right now. And if... You know, we're talking about him having the lifetime ban is only for the Department of Conservation. I mean, that's all he'd be banned from.
But he doesn't deserve... Now, listen, if you
want to
not
confirm... He doesn't even
deserve
that?
Yeah. If you don't want to confirm him as the senator's prerogative, then by all means, do not confirm him. He is a big boy. He understands how this process works. He's not unfamiliar with how this building is. He will live. But to say he has a lifetime ban on a board and commission because of something he had nothing to do with is wrong. And he may be the one hostage, but I've just taken 22.
Well, maybe what ought to happen is that somebody ought to go to the governor and say, Governor, if you don't want this to happen, maybe you might, you know, like, behave better.
So that's what we've resulted to. The Missouri Senate has dissolved down to terrorist tactics of trying to hold hostages to get the governor.
I mean, we're not taking that action. This is not our action today. I mean, if you want him to come forward, you need to talk to the senator from the 23rd.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, you yield to an inquiry. Senator refuses to yield.
Okay. Noted. Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 9th.
Senator from the 9th District, you yield to an inquiry.
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, you've heard the exchanges that we've had here today. Do you think this is a reasonable course of action for this body to take?
Well, see, I think, you know what, the interesting thing I think of your inquiry of me in this regard is going to kind of open up a trick bag.
Okay.
Because unfortunately, I'm in the same position as a senator from the 18th. Here's where I am. I think it's unfortunate that the governor's office really is pitting members against members and members against private citizens because they did not follow through on the agreement they've made with certain senators. And I happen to be in the exact same predicament currently. So I think here we are. I was hoping you did not inquire of me because then I would have to speak to my level of distaste right now and the decision of the administration to make agreements with certain senators and then not keep them. All right? So do I agree that Tim Dollar is an excellent human being, certainly worthy to serve? Absolutely. Absolutely. The issue I have happens to be with one of the MoDOT appointees. All right? No, I did not request a lifetime ban on that member. Do I hope that he's not reappointed? Of course, because then this fight will continue if the person happens to be reappointed again. All right? But at the same time, this becomes difficult for me because I'm very sensitive right now about senators being well within their right of advice and consent of appointees of the governor. And unfortunately, it puts us in very difficult positions when he has then promised something to the senator of the 18th and then did not deliver.
I cannot argue one bit that the governor was right. I don't know the circumstances of the promise that was given or that was broken. I'm not speaking on behalf of the administration's ability to keep their promises. All I'm saying is that having collateral damage of saying that Tim Dollar is banned because the governor broke his promise is not fair. It's not patently fair. It's not right.
I get it. And that's why I'm telling you this is a very difficult position for me because I happen to be in a circumstance that's very similar to the senator from the 18th right now. So I almost wish you had not inquired of me.
Well, I think Tim Dollar
is well within his right to serve? I think he's an excellent person to be able to serve on the commission.
It is altogether appropriate for the Senate to use its voice to express displeasure with how the governor is conducting his business and
promises. Well, not just to be able to express their displeasure, but they also, it's well within their rights to give advice and consent. And that's where I happen to be somewhat torn. Do I wish that we would go ahead, of course, and let Tim Dollar go forward? Of course. Do I think he should have a lifetime ban? I get it. I get it, Senator. I really, really do. The difficult part for me is how you begin to address the situation and the lack of communication, or maybe it isn't a lack of communication, maybe it's just a lack of follow-through by the second floor with the other senators, and I'm really challenged at right now on how to address that.
Well, so let's talk about what we're doing here. So advice. The advice from the senator from the 12th to the governor is keep your promises. If you don't keep your promises, then we're not going to give consent to your nominees. That's wholly appropriate.
Well, that's what...
So the lack of consent to Mr. Dollar being on the Conservation Commission is not why I'm on my feet right now. That is not it. It is not advice, consent, and punitive. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's not advice, consent, and then punish somebody.
But you don't believe that still is under the purview of consent?
I don't believe that retribution for an innocent bystander is appropriate action for this body to take because they are unhappy that they had a promise broken to them. And again, the senator from Lewis has every right to be upset. The senator from the 12th has every right to be upset. And not to confirm that nominee if that nominee was submitted when they were promised somebody else.
Right.
And that's not what I have the problem with. Right now. But to take retribution on someone who had nothing to do with that is wrong.
But I hate even having this discussion because, of course, I like Tim Dollar. I do. That's why this is very difficult.
This
for
could
me
be
right
anybody.
Now. Exactly. It could be anybody. It didn't necessarily have to be Tim Dollar. But here's my thing to you, Senator. How then do we as senators begin to address those items and those things that are very troubling from the second floor? I just don't know how to address it. Do I think that there should be a lifetime ban? I think that's something for this body to decide. Do I personally think that Tim Dollar is a great human being? Obviously, he's been very supportive of many of us. Of course. I don't think that's the question here. But I'm very perplexed in this whole process as well as to how to be able to address the situation that's going on with the second floor right now. And I am a person, I believe, at least some in this room would agree, I am a person that is always willing to meet halfway, especially if you're willing to meet me halfway. But when I begin to meet halfway, and if we have an agreement, and we say that certain things are going to be done, and then I happen to deliver on those things, and then you happen to pull the rug up on an agreement we had after the deadline, that's unacceptable. That
Absolutely.
Is totally unacceptable
Senator,
to
I agree.
Me.
I agree with you. I agree with you that the cause of why we're here is indefensible. But the solution that's being sought is also indefensible. And two wrongs don't make a right.
But then how do I address it? And that's what I am currently troubled with right now, how to be able to address it. I don't know.
Not by taking innocent people and giving them lifetime bans because you're trying to evoke an action. What do you think the end result is? Okay, so let's play this out. I go ahead and sit down. I return the floor. We let the 22 be withdrawn. It comes back to Tim's withdrawal. The body votes to not allow him to withdraw. What is accomplished? Does the governor all of a sudden come running down here and say, okay, I'm sorry, guys, I'll give you who you want?
But you know what? That's what he should do. Honestly, if it was agreement you made as a legislator or from the second floor, if that's what you said you would do, I believe that your word is all you have in this building. That is it. That's all you have. If you're still asking me how to address it, I'm not sure how to address it. You know what? Because they're not very responsive, because they don't communicate with us as they should. I'm not really sure how to address it. I don't feel they've been particularly responsive to many of us in this situation. I don't.
I don't disagree with you, Senator.
I'm not sure how to address it.
But what we are effectively doing is abdicating our future role on this individual. If he was reappointed, it's not like he can't be stopped or of consent in the future. If we were to allow him to be withdrawn and the governor reappointed him on Monday, the president pro tem could
Which
set up a gubernatorial hearing on Wednesday and bring him in and not confirm him. That is the power that we have as this chamber, but we are abdicating that power in order to make a symbolic statement that I believe is a misuse of the process. And I think that by doing that, we are setting the condition by which it can be done again. And it can be done over and over and over until every single time we have a grievance with somebody else, we choose to try to kill one of the appointments in this fashion.
Well, here's my issue with that. Too, and I'm trying, and I hate that this has to be played out publicly, because what is going to force me to do is begin to talk about some of these items again publicly when I have tried to refrain from doing that at this point. The problem is, Senator, I don't know again how we begin to address it. It is well within our power to do so. Aside from who the person happens to be, okay, I'm tossing that to the side for a moment, because I think you and I both agree on the fact that this particular individual, we believe, is worthy to serve on this commission or any other. Okay, if we push that to the side. If we begin just to talk about principle, not the person involved, strictly principle, it's well within our right and our power as senators, which at times, sometimes I don't feel we have much of when we begin to deal with the second floor. And I feel like many times that power that we have is continually usurped, taken from us, overshadowed, And I don't know how to address it, frankly. So, in as much as I certainly wish that this were not the situation, I also believe that the situation at hand also placed or began pitting senators against folks who then have no, I believe it puts us in a position where he is then either pitting senators against senators or senators against lay folks who probably otherwise would be very qualified to serve. And I resent that as well. I do. And I find myself in a very similar situation with the individual on MoDOT Commission. I don't appreciate that at all. You know, he's very shrewd. The governor's, the second floor is very shrewd in their dealing. They're not stupid folks, but neither are we. All right? So I'm not, you know, I as I said, I kind of wish this whole conversation didn't necessarily have to play out publicly. But I'm not really sure how to address it either.
Well, Senator, adorned on the wall of this chamber says nothing is politically right that is morally wrong.
Exactly. And that also goes for the second floor.
But
that also goes for them.
We cannot punish an innocent person to compel the governor to do anything. I think that is wrong. That is not a morally just position for this body to take.
You know what? And I actually agree with that, except that the fundamental problem is that one of those situations predicated the other. And I'm not sure how to deal with the fact that we happen to be injuring someone who happens to be innocent in the process, or whether the real problem is that the governor's office, I'm not going to say the governor, because I certainly did not have a conversation with him directly, but certainly his staff folks. I'm a little perplexed right now as well. And this becomes a decision. This becomes a thing that's very difficult for me, even personally, because the situation that I find myself in with the MoDOT appointee is exactly very similar to the situation that the senator from the 18th has at hand as well. I'm not really sure how to address it. Of course, I see that. And you know what? I'm going to stop because, you know,
Senator, we are.
I'm not sure how to address it either. I agree with you that it becomes more punitive upon the individual. I think that the second floor also knows that, which is why they very freely sometimes and maybe conveniently still make the appointments, and hoping that when we talk about winners and losers or you know, who has the upper hand or who has the bigger stick, I think that sometimes that becomes indicative of the other person wanting to have a bigger stick. And you know, it's a difficult situation and circumstance for me as well.
Senator, if this were about confirming Mr. Dollar, I would not stand in the way of non-confirmation because of the circumstance that has been articulated here today. But I do not believe that that's what this is about. I believe that they have chosen somebody who has been politically active in the state, and they feel comfortable making an example out of them and having them be collateral damage for political gain. And I'm telling you, it's not right. It's a bad precedent to set. And I believe that we are doing ourselves a disservice as statesmen for allowing it to happen.
But and here's what I want to say, too. And I know you said something about it being political damage because it happens to be a person that happens to, I don't believe you said influential, but you used some other term. But
politically active.
Politically active. You know what? But it would be the same circumstance had it be someone who had not even had the same resources even as Mr. Dollar. I think the principle still applies, whether it happens to be a person of great influence or whether it happens to be just a general, we use the term layperson all day today, or whether it happens to be a layperson that typically doesn't have a lot of influence in politics or process. And, you know,
okay,
you
asked Senator,
me,
I appreciate it. I want to inquire
so
the
I
senator
answered.
From the 18th
Thank
before
you.
He gets out of the chamber. Mr. President, can I inquire the senator from the 18th?
Senator from the 18th. And Senator from the 7th, do remind you to face the front during your inquiries. Senator from the 18th, do you yield to an inquiry?
Come down, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you taking my inquiry. How can I help provide a solution to the problem that has gotten us to arrive at a place where we're punishing an innocent person for something that was a mis.
It is way too bad that it's come to this point, Senator. It could have been very easily fixed as long as 8 or 9 months ago. Very easily fixed. As soon as this appointment was made, I texted the governor staffer back then and said, I hope you know that there was an agreement made. And actually, the staffer went to the governor. He told me that, yes, the governor remembered the agreement. Then, later, there was another appointment made that was still not from Northeast Missouri. Well, this was the first appointment. This is the one. I've worked with the governor. I allowed the other appointee to go on to the state commission. It was a vote we made earlier today. Now, if you look at the history of the governor, more than likely he'll just wait till May the 20th this year and put this person back on. I, to date, do not have any assurance he won't reappoint.
What if you had assurances?
This is actually the only real way that this person won't get reappointed.
Well, what if, but again, I think that the step is excessive. It's unnecessary.
Senator, I've tried to work with the governor. It's been a long time.
Well, I cannot keep the word of the governor on his behalf.
I know you can't.
But what I can do though is commit to you now that if we can stop this from happening today, that I will not support a renomination of this individual while this governor is governor, and I will support you in getting an individual that's geographically...
Senator, let me know. I don't have anything really personally against this person.
But
it all falls squarely on the governor's shoulders because he didn't stand up to his agreement.
And so we're willing to punish an innocent person over it.
Pardon?
We're willing to punish an innocent person over it.
Is there any way to make sure this person is not appointed in the interim, May the 20th, to serve Clara until next year?
Well, you know, we do have the ability to hold up the rest of the appointments going forward.
Which you're doing a very good job of.
Well, Senator, this is not an enviable position for me. Okay.
Me neither, Senator. It could have been settled a long time ago.
I am not happy that I'm keeping everybody from going home to their families. I have a 9-year-old and 8-year-old that I haven't seen for a week that I want to go home to. But as of this moment right now, I believe that if we allow this to happen, that it will become a tool that other senators will try to invoke in the future. And I think that, you know, there are other ways. We are compromisers by nature to be in this building,
Senator,
be in this chamber. We can figure out a way forward that doesn't punish an innocent person.
Like I've said, Senator, I have tried to work with him. I actually let one other person on the commission this morning, which was against our agreement. I've came halfway, and I still don't have anything out of the governor's office to say that he's willing to stand up to the agreement he made a year ago.
And
this is a sacrificial lamb by the governor at this point.
I'm saddened that you have been treated this way, because no senator deserves to be promised and then to have those promises.
And I'm not the only one, unfortunately, as you've heard already, and there are more of us.
I understand, but I still think that this tactic is not the proper redress for your grievance.
Senator, you know, like I said, this is the only way that we could be assured that he wouldn't be brought back May the 20th to serve Clare through the interim. And look at history. This governor has done that, withdrawn people and then reappoint them right after we adjourn.
And you think there's no way that we cannot take a minute?
There's been a way. There's been a way for about 8 months, Senator.
Well, I think
there's been a clear path. And then twice, not just once,
so do you,
violated my trust.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the governor had any idea this was coming today? That Mr. Dollar was going to face a lifetime ban on a commission because of his inability to follow through on a promise? Do you think that he knew that this was going to happen today?
Senator, I don't know what the governor knew. I know that this is the Senate, and anything can happen. And I think probably he had been maybe forewarned.
Well, I said it earlier. You know, I pledge whatever effort is necessary to help you get to the goal that you're trying to achieve.
I appreciate that. And I'll stick with any other senator, like my friends and colleagues here, who actually rely on that trust, but when it doesn't come through, we need to stand together.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th.
Can I inquire of the Senator from the 17th?
Senator from the 17th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I know that, you know, this is not fun. This is not fun for me to try to make this argument. But I, you know, I have a lot of respect and trust your judgment on a lot of things, and I just want to see what you think about what we're doing here.
I think it happens. I think there are things in politics that happen that you like or dislike, that you can control, that you can't control, and I think this is one of those things that happens.
What do you think the chances are that it happens again once we allow this to happen today?
Well, I mean, I think that the senator from Lewis was... And the senator from Jackson, you know, have highlighted that the issue here is not an issue that, I mean, at least for me, not an issue that I have with Mr. Dollar. I don't think it's an issue that they have with Mr. Dollar, but it's really a credibility issue with the governor. And I don't know how you solve the issue of having a governor with no credibility. Because the real issue is, as the senator from Lewis put it, nobody can make the agreement that he doesn't just wait till we leave and make a recess appointment and have him serve until we come back. And to me, it's something that happens. It's collateral damage.
And you're not concerned at all that this could be a trend that happens because whatever reason?
I believe that the body... has an ability to speak on these. I think that the role of advice and consent is very important in the separation of powers. And if the body collectively decides that that's how it's going to go down, then I think it's perfectly legitimate.
When did it change from advice and consent to advice, consent, and retribution?
I think it's always been that way. You can pretend it wasn't, but
you agree
I think it's
that this is
that
a retributive
way.
Act?
I think it's an act in response to the governor's actions in breaking agreements with members of this body, and I think that it's going to happen. I mean, and to say that we tend to look at history through a lens of, you know, moral relativism, that, you know, you ask this question of when did it become retribution as if it's never been retribution in the past. So I would assert, without knowing specific instances, that in the couple hundred year history of our state, there's probably been a nominee or two that's been denied for retribution purposes. Does that make it right?
I have no problem with denying him access to this commission. I think that is an appropriate role for this Senate to take. It's the lifetime ban and the parlor tricks and the rule exploitation that led us to this exact point intentionally. To punish somebody that nothing to do with the promise that was being broken in order to send a message to the governor that I promise you he's not going to get.
Well,
okay? We've seen this governor is not going to respond to terrorism. All right? You know, you can say what you want about Governor Jay Nixon, he is not one that's going to respond to people being bullies over his appointments.
I mean, terrorism.
That's what this is. This is legislative terrorism.
Well, I mean, to be frank, Senator, I mean, some would argue that responding to blocking one nominee's confirmation by blocking 22 nominees' confirmation would be terrorism.
Well, I have very little options available to me at this point to keep
That's
something that
terrorism.
I believe is egregious happen. You know,
Well, and I believe that you share the frustration of the Senator from Lewis and the Senator from Jackson in that they feel that there are no other options. So I believe, as I've sat here and listened to this debate, whether it was here or in the back, that there is ground on all sides. Everybody has legitimate ground to defend in this debate.
I don't disagree with that, Senator. My problem is this is going to all happen, and when it's said and done, we're going to have committed what I think is a lapse of moral judgment by this building. And then what's going to happen is Tim Dollar is going to be blocked for life from this commission, whether he would or would not have been appointed.
Which is
irrelevant.
Which is unfortunate.
And then the governor is going to be no worse for the wear and going to continue to be the governor as he has been for the last 5 years, and he will be for the next three.
In the realm of political life, there are unfortunate circumstances, and that is an unfortunate circumstance. You know, at some point, you and I will be blocked from ever serving in this body again, and that's unfortunate as well. You know, it's not, nobody's dying here, literally dying.
No, I understand that.
There are certain things that, I guess, as much as I like Mr. Dollar, and he's been a friend to me, it's just one of those situations that's unfortunate for him to be found in.
All right. Thank you for your time. Mr. President, can I inquire of the Senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, you've been sitting in here graciously listening to what I think is a very important act that we're undertaking. I'd just like to get your opinion on how you feel that the discussion's gone and where you think this is going and what the outcome could potentially be of what we're doing here today.
Well, first of all, let me say this. This has been a learning experience for me because I've never been through this before. I've never seen it happen before. Procedural-wise, I say the senator from the 12th probably made a motion somewhat actually put you in a box, for better terms. I don't know how you want me to say that, but that's kind of how I feel procedural-wise. I don't like giving anybody lifetime bans. I really don't, because, I mean, but unfortunately, in this political arena, things like this happen. You know that as well as I do, and they probably do, too, that these things can happen. And I've sat here and I've listened to the conversation. I've listened to you, and I don't think when you first got up here, you're probably planning on filibustering.
I was not. I certainly was not.
And it's not much fun. I haven't had much experience with a little bit of it. But here's what I think, and I suppose this would be the advice I would give in this process. You've been up there long enough now to realize what position you're in right now. You're either going to go one with what the Senator 12th's got on the floor, or they're all going to go down. Whichever way you do that, now all of a sudden we got to decide, you have to decide somewhat because you're in the position you're in, what's the price of one versus all of them. I mean, that's going to be the reality of this thing before it's over. At some point, there's not going to be a quorum. At some point, what are you going to do? And I guess my advice to you would be, you've made a heck of a showing of what you believe in and what you do, but I think at some point you got to live to fight another day. I don't know that you're going to be able to change what's going to happen here today. I really don't. If I did, I would tell you, I would give you that, but I just don't think at this point you are.
Three senators standing. Senator from the 23rd, for purpose, do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I request unanimous consent for the Senate to stand at ease?
Seeing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. The Senate is now back in session.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I just want to thank the Senator from Polk. You're very wise, and I appreciate the advice that you've been able to give me here on the floor. And I just want to say that I take this responsibility, serving in the Missouri Senate, very seriously. I think it's a privilege to do so. I've been very clear about how I feel about what we're doing today and the precedent that it's setting and the unfortunate circumstances of an innocent person being held responsible for something they had nothing to do with. But I'm also cognizant that this is going to be a long session. We've got lots of time left. As senators, we have to evaluate and choose what we want to expend our time on, and I believe that I've made my point here today. I would still ask the body to, when the vote comes up on Mr. Dollar, to consider all the things that have been discussed and to vote as statesmen and to not punish somebody that had nothing to do with the grievance that's been put before us today. But I think that I'm ready to let us come to that vote. So with that, Mr. President, I yield.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close and would ask that you remind members of the motion that we were on.
Senator, the motion is that the appointments be returned to the governor with the exception, the return of the appointment of Tim Dollar as a member of the Conservation Commission, and that be considered separately. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the appointment of Tim Dollar as a member of the Conservation Commission be returned to the governor.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Davies, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Not to reiterate anything that everything I said earlier.
Senator, for what purpose do you rise?
To speak on that motion.
Proceed.
Thank you. Not to reiterate everything I said earlier. This is the motion that I ask the members of the body to please defeat. So a no is what I would ask of you on this motion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Wish to inquire the senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, Tim Dollar is a constituent of mine, lives in Blue Springs. He's a good individual.
Senator,
what type of person do you want on the Conservation Commission?
Senator, I have no doubts. You know, and you've heard the discussion that's gone on. And, you know, when I heard that he was the first appointee that violated the agreement that I had, the first person I called was the President Pro Tem. You were the second person I called. And I think you remember that conversation.
I do. And I appreciate the call. And I did relay the concerns to Mr. Dollar when we talked about his appointment and the fact that I was going to sponsor him. I let him know that, hey, you've got a pretty steep hill here. The senator from Lewis believes or has a deal with the governor, and he feels like he's getting the carpet pulled out from underneath him. But to block him from a lifetime ban on conservation, I want to go back to my original question. I appreciate the phone call when you called me back this summer when he was appointed. Who do you want on the Conservation Commission? Other than somebody north of the river or north of I-70, who do you want?
I want somebody good. And like I said, I have no doubt that maybe he could fulfill that spot and be very good at it. But that's not really this. Now, do you remember how long ago that phone call was made to you?
I remember it was over the interim this summer. It was probably right after session was out.
Also along with those two phone calls I made was a text to the governor's office and then a phone call to follow up with his staffer, which was Daniel Hall at the time.
I understand.
They've had plenty of time to right the wrong. Could it happen? No. I just went outside in the side. They're still not ready.
I
know there are people from Northeast Missouri that have put their names forward that will be very good in this position also. It's not a matter of not being anybody else to choose from. It is strictly that the governor doesn't want to.
I understand that, and that's a point that we should understand, maybe not getting him through this time, but for a lifetime ban, I think Tim Dollar, he is a outdoorsman. He likes to be outdoors. He would serve well on this commission, maybe not at this point, but what we're doing with this motion from the senator from Andrew is blocking him for a lifetime of something he enjoys, and I think he would do a good job of later in life. So I just want to pass on that I think that Tim Dollar would serve well on this commission in the future. I understand about your deal with the governor, and I understand why you are where you are, but I think the body needs to understand what we're doing here with the motion is to basically blocking him. No, not basically. We are blocking him from a lifetime of serving on the Conservation Commission, and he would serve and do a lot of good things if he got that opportunity later in life. So I would encourage the body not to allow the letter to be returned. So to vote in the affirmative, to vote yes on the senator from the 23rd? From his motion to return the appointment. So thank you, Senator from Lewis.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 23rd moves the appointment of Tim Dollar as member of the Conservation Commission be returned to the governor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. Senator from the 18th, I'm sorry, Senator from Davies.
Standing division.
Does someone else stand? Anyone else standing? We will have a standing division. Would everyone please return to their seats? A standing division has been asked and granted. All those in favor, please stand. Please be seated. All those opposed, please stand. Please be seated. By your vote of 14 ayes, 16 no, you have defeated the motion. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, we're still on reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees?
Senator from Green. You have a report? Oh, excuse me, Senator. Let me get the senator from Polk first. Apologies.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report on government accountability and fiscal oversight.
Please send it forward.
Sorry.
Right. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 30, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Parson, Chairman.
Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking Education Committee has a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the report. Please send the photograph back.
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, to which was referred Senate Bill 605, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Pierce, Chairman.
Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Financial, Governmental, and Organizations and Elections has a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred House Bill 1125, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred Senate Bill 528, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Wasson, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules has a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Resolution 1168, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the resolution do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order business of a third read of Senate bills.
Third reading of Senate bills. Senator from Green, you're recognized in Senate substitute for Senate Bill 507.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill, the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 507, be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Green. As many of you have the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very briefly, this is the Executive Accountability Act, and the statutory portion of the provisions changing the appointment process, bringing some accountability, some responsibility, some clarity and integrity to the process. I won't belabor the point, but go into just a very brief reminder that this would modify that process for department directors and the process for filling vacancies in elected offices, as well as some in boards and commissions. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. President. Otherwise, I would move that the bill be read the third time and finally passed.
The senator from Green has moved that Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 507 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Senator from Barton, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
President, to inquire the senator from Green.
Does the senator from Green yield?
I do. Thank
you. He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And I can't remember whether we've talked about this or before, but I believe in the legislation that we passed and is now being third read, the provisions are that upon an impeachment, articles of impeachment being filed, the party who is being charged is removed from office until that is resolved. Is that correct?
I believe you're correct. I believe that's right.
And I have some concerns that I need to do some more research on about due process and whether or not that's appropriate that we remove an elected person from elected office until the adjudication is finalized. I'll talk to you further. I'm also going to probably talk to some of our colleagues in the House and see whether that's something we should address. But just, I didn't want to blindside you.
Certainly understandable. The only thing I would compare that to is disciplinary leave until a matter is resolved.
I'm sorry. What are you telling me? You're just saying that that's not.
I'd say it would be akin to disciplinary leave until a matter is resolved. Like if you had someone on
right,
a police force.
That's what's in there now.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, they're not permitted to serve. They're still paid. They still have their title. They're just not permitted to serve the office.
Right. And
that's what I want to take a look at, see if in fact it seems that it does preserve the constitutional protections.
I believe it
should
does.
Be theirs along with everyone else. And that was all. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Green has renewed his motion that Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 507 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Substitute for Senate Bill Number 507, an act relating to vacancies in certain public offices. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson,
Senator from Franklin. Senator from Franklin votes no. (clears throat) 27 ayes, 5 noes. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 651, Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 651 be brought before the body for third reading.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Andrews. Many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 651 is what we perfected the other day. This is the deregulation of the retail side. It does nothing on deregulation of the wholesale between telecom providers, just the retail. No one testified against it in committee, and if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'd renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew has moved that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 651 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 651 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 651, an act relating to communication services. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from Franklin. Senator from Franklin votes aye. 32 ayes, 0 noes. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 649, Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 649 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Andrew. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Bill 649 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. 649 is the bill that ensure that no political subdivision could require a public utility that's been granted access to the right-of-way to enter into an agreement in order to get the enter into an agreement to get a permit. Pretty much cleans up what we worked on last year. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Senator from Andrew has moved that Senate Bill 649 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Andrew has renewed his motion that Senate Bill 649 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill Number 649, an act relating to right-of-way of political subdivisions. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the 15th. Senator from the 15th votes aye. 32 ayes, 0 noes. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Andrew, you're recognized on Senate Bill 652.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 652 be brought before the body for third reading, final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Andrew. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the bill that would clean up the language on the railroad right-of-ways in that it sets the maximum fee they can charge at $1,500. This is the one that we worked with all the carriers. The only bad actor was a land management company, and this will clean it up. If there's questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew has moved that Senate Bill 652 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
Senator from Andrew has renewed his motion that Senate Bill 652 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill number 652, an act relating to utility access to railroad right-of-way. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls,
aye.
Dempsey,
aye.
Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lauger, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the 24th. Senator from the 24th votes aye. 32 ayes, 0 noes. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection. Let the journal show. Senator from Andrew has moved that the title be agreed to. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered.
Senator from Andrew has moved that the vote by which Senate Bill 652 passed be reconsidered. Senator from Buchanan moves that the motion lie on the table. The question occurs on the latter motion. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes have it. Senate substitute for Senate Bill 653, Senator from Andrew.
President, I'd move that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 653 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from Senator from Andrew. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the bill that deals with the municipal utility poles where we set the rate at the FCC rate for cable and then create a workaround that if the city can prove that their rates are higher than that, that what they should be charging is more than that, there's a mechanism by which they can move into court, prove their rates, and get the higher rate. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them. This is also the bill that sets up the terms and conditions. So it says that the utility going on the pole as well as the pole owner will enter into a contract on terms and conditions on how to get the pole, how to get attachments off, all those types of things. If there's questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew has moved that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 653 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Andrew has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 653 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 653, an act relating to municipal utility poles. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lauger, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the 5th. Senator from the 5th votes aye. 31 ayes, 1 no. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate substitute for Senate Committee, substitute for Senate Bill 650, Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move the Senate substitute for Senate Committee, substitute for Senate Bill 650 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Andrew. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is for the body. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the wireless infrastructure bill. This is the one that sets timelines for when they work through planning and zoning. It does not eliminate planning and zoning. It does not stop a city from being able to stop a tower. What it does do is it says that within a certain number of days, actions will happen. The goal here is to create a streamlined process throughout the state and to set timelines so there's at least some certainty from when the time of that an application is put in to when they know yes or no that it's going to happen. If there's questions, happy to answer them. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew has moved that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 650 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Andrew has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 650 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 650, an act relating to wireless communications infrastructure deployment. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey,
aye.
Dixon, aye. Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, aye. Pierce, aye. Richard, aye. Romine, aye. Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Thirty-one ayes, one no. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate Joint Resolution 30, Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Joint Resolution number 30 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Green. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Joint Resolution be read the third time and finally passed. Mr. President, just as a brief reminder, this is constitutional framework for the bill that we just passed and adopted, or third read, a few moments ago, dealing with the appointment of acting department directors and the failure to appoint boards and commission members and the remedy for that. If there are no questions further, I would renew my motion.
Senator from Green has moved that Senate Joint Resolution 30 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Green has renewed his motion that Senate Joint Resolution 30 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Joint Resolution number 30, Joint Resolution relating to gubernatorial appointments. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey,
aye.
Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla. Munslinger. Nasheed. Nieves. Parson. Pierce. Richard. Romine. Roop. Sater. Schaff. Schaefer. Schmidt. Sifton. Sylvie. Wallingford. Walsh. Wasson.
Senator from the 15th. Senator from the 15th votes aye. 27 ayes, 4 noes. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling of perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business for introduction of bills. I believe the Senator from Green wasn't in the room, and he has a bill to introduce.
Senator from Green, please send it forward.
No explanation necessary. Thank you.
Secretary, after you receive the bill from this beautiful young lady, would you please read it?
Senate Bill number 844, introduced by Senator Dixon, an act relating to the Shared Work Unemployment Compensation Program.
I hope that someone is paying that page. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I object. The Senate will go to order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Second reading of Senate bills, the junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 725.
Senate Bill 725, an act relating to the designation of the Mark Perez Memorial Bridge.
Transportation, Senate Bill 726.
Senate Bill 726, an act relating to term limits for State Board of Education members.
Financial and governmental organizations and elections, Senate Bill 727.
Senate Bill 727, an act relating to a sales and use tax exemption for farmers markets.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 728.
Senate Bill 728, an act relating to election offenses.
Financial and governmental organizations and elections, Senate Bill 729.
Senate Bill 729, an act relating to a tax credit for donations to innovation campuses.
Jobs, Senate Bill 730.
Senate Bill 730, an act relating to school accreditation.
Education, Senate Bill 731.
Senate Bill 731, an act relating to property regulations in certain cities and counties.
Jobs, Senate Bill 732.
Senate Bill 732, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 733.
Senate Bill 733, an act relating to income taxes.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 734.
Senate Bill 734, an act relating to electric cooperatives.
Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight, Senate Bill 735.
Senate Bill 735, an act relating to campgrounds.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 736.
Senate Bill 736, an act relating to temporary assistance for needy families' benefits.
Governmental Accountability, Senate Bill 737.
Senate Bill 737, an act relating to obstruction of an ethics investigation.
Rules, Senate Bill 738.
Senate Bill 738, an act relating to campaign finance.
Rules, Senate Bill 739.
Senate Bill 739, an act relating to the Missouri Health Net Program.
Veterans Affairs and Health, Senate Bill 740.
Senate Bill 740, an act relating to tax credits.
Jobs, Senate Bill 741.
Senate Bill 741, an act relating to financial transactions of gaming establishments.
All business, Senate Bill 742.
Senate Bill 742, an act relating to an air export incentive.
Jobs, Senate Bill 743.
Senate Bill 743, an act relating to tax incentives.
Jobs, Senate Bill 744.
Senate Bill 744, an act relating to firearms.
General laws. Senate Bill 745.
Senate Bill 745, an act relating to concealed carry permits.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 746.
Senate Bill 746, an act relating to automated traffic enforcement penalties.
Transportation and infrastructure. Senate Bill 748. I think Senate Bill 747 was withdrawn. Senate Bill 748.
Senate Bill 748, an act relating to the meningococcal vaccine.
Veterans Affairs and Health. Senate Bill 749.
Senate Bill 749, an act relating to voting in advance of an election.
Financial governmental organizations and elections. Senate Bill 750.
Senate Bill 750, an act relating to employee password protection.
General laws. Senate Bill 751.
Senate Bill 751, an act relating to elections.
Financial governmental organizations and elections. Senate Bill 752.
Senate Bill 752, an act relating to the term of office for appointed officers.
Rules. Senate Bill 753.
Senate Bill 753, an act relating to requiring the state auditor to report on the costs of administering the death penalty.
Governmental accountability and fiscal oversight. Senate Bill 754.
Senate Bill 754, an act relating to the termination date of the Missouri prescription drug program.
Seniors, families, and pensions. Senate Bill 755.
Senate Bill 755, an act relating to the statewide licensure of electrical contractors.
Small business. Senate Bill 756.
Senate Bill 756, an act relating to funding for gifted education.
Education. Hold on just a moment.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Joint Resolution 44.
Senate Joint Resolution 44, an act relating to a refund of excess state revenues.
Ways and Means. Senate Joint Resolution 45.
Senate Joint Resolution 45, an act relating to the ability of the governor to control the rate of reduce expenditures.
Senate Joint Resolution 40. Appropriations. Senate Joint Resolution 46.
Senate Joint Resolution 46, an act relating to taxation.
Ways and Means. Senate Joint Resolution 47.
Senate Joint Resolution 47, an act relating to term limits for statewide elected officials.
Rules. Senate Joint Resolution 48.
Senate Joint Resolution 48, an act relating to a temporary tax to improve the state highway system, city streets, county roads, and the state transportation system.
Transportation.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No objection. The Senate will go to order of business for announcements.
Announcements. Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, no further business coming to the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, February the 10th, 2014.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, February the 10th. Have a safe trip home.